and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead. And so that last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. I like to read the last verse again. So they went, made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch to make sure that no one from outside could go inside to steal the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to ensure that the Lord Jesus Christ himself could not rise up and get out of the sepulchre. And so the seal was set. It was very sure that no one could take the body out, and nobody could go out. But it's quite easy to actually prove that the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. Here are very simple proofs. The enemies of Jesus Christ had taken steps to ensure that the sepulchre was secure and that no one could go in and no one from inside could get out. Firstly, let's have an idea of what the sepulchre would look like, as you see on the screen. There was the broken seal. That's the first proof. The stone was rolled across the opening of the sepulchre, and it was sealed. And why could this be the proof, the broken seal? Because nobody would dare to break open that seal. It had the authority of the Roman Empire. Nobody would dare, lest he be executed. Secondly, there was a watch, a guard, outside the sepulchre. And no guard would dare to go absent without leave. And so each of the guard would be there to secure the sepulchre. Anybody who had run away would be burnt to death. He would himself be stripped of his clothes, and his clothes would be put on fire to burn that person alive. No one, no guard would dare to run away and go on leave without permission. The large stone was moved. There was a large stone rolled across the opening of the sepulchre. Yet the stone was moved away from the opening. No one could do it without the permission of the guard, without the seal being broken. No one could carry it. It was 1.5 to 2 tons heavy. You go inside, the clothes were as they were on the body of a dead person. It would seem that those clothes would just collapse as if somebody inside those clothes had just vanished into thin air, and the clothes just fell flat without being messed around. How could a dead person come out of those clothes without messing the clothes around? There was the empty tomb. The empty tomb became the very theme of all the apostles' preaching, of all the news that encouraged the believers, the apostles, to go around to preach, the Lord is risen. He is not here. Now, these are things that would not be commonly explained away by anybody. If you are interested, you can read about this about this book that has this evidence which requires a verdict by Josh McDowell. I recommend this book to you. how he proves that indeed the evidence that is given is refutable. Today, in my rumination, I also wrote on the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and entitled it the two in one, that the two cannot be divorced one from the other. The death and the resurrection of Christ must take place according to the scriptures. The Lord Jesus, after his resurrection, appeared to people. And here we, that is our study for this morning. We will be studying 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You can now flip your page from Matthew 27 to 1 Corinthians 15. And we shall be seeing, studying that text verse by verse after I have gone through the post-resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Mary Magdalene as the first witness. Now, it is surprising, and it is not unexpected in a way, because the Lord was showing that respect to the woman. Mary Magdalene was a sinner. Mary Magdalene was a woman, and yet Mary Magdalene was the first witness of the post-resurrection appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in Mark chapter 16, verse 9. To say today, as many people say, that Jesus Christ is a woman hater is not right. He regarded the woman as very, very important and had given the woman priority in his regard for her. Then there were the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They saw the Lord Jesus Christ. They talked with the Lord Jesus Christ. Was that an illusion? There were the 10 disciples and Thomas. They saw the Lord Jesus Christ because he appeared in the upper room into their midst. He talked with them. Thomas at the first time was not there. But the second time, he was there. And when he was challenged by the Lord, "Here, put your hands to my side. See the nail prints in my hands and see that whether it is me or not." And so Thomas did not even touch him. He just bowed down and he said, "My Lord and my God." The 7 disciples in the Sea of Galilee, they fished all night and they got nothing. And then later the Lord Jesus appeared to them and said, cast your net onto the other side of the boat, and they found the fishes. And they recognized it was Jesus. Peter was singled out after he had betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times, and he was singled out and challenged, "Do you love me more than these?" 3 times, Peter answered, "Lord, you know that I love you." And then John followed, and John saw Peter and the Lord Jesus Christ talking. There were over 500 brethren, as we shall see later on and discuss, who saw the Lord Jesus Christ also. And many of them were still living at that time. James, the half-brother of Jesus, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. The brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ never believed in him during his lifetime. But here we find the James believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only James, but even Jude, who wrote the New Testament book. On a mountain in Galilee, the Lord Jesus Christ brought the disciples together and gave them the commission, "Go ye into all the world." And then finally, he ascended in the presence of all his disciples. All these appearances, no one can deny. The people saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ must have risen again from the dead. The resurrection of believers. Now comes the first question. If the Lord Jesus Christ had risen again from the dead, would those who believe in him rise again from the dead? Question number one, our topic for discussion today. If the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, therefore all those who believe in him would rise again from the dead, then how would they rise? That would be the question that we shall answer next week. What will happen to their bodies? What kind of bodies will they have? So, if you have time, you want to prepare yourself, you are invited to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in preparation for next week's study. Now, 1 Corinthians 15 was part of a problem in the book of Corinthians that the church in Corinth posed to Paul. And the greatest of this will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 when they pose two very important questions with regard to the resurrection. Firstly, there were these doubts concerning the resurrection of buried believers, meaning there were those who had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who had slept, that is, who had died, but up to now, and that would be about 30 years later, up to now, still there was no sign that these people would rise again. Would they ever rise again? Jesus said they would rise again, but would they ever rise again? It's about 30-40 years already, and still they had not risen. They are still in the grave. Would they rise again? Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ is risen? Then is Christ not risen? Huh? Do you dare to say that the dead will not in Christ will not rise again? Then you might as well forget your understanding and believe that Jesus rose again from the dead, which they believed in the first place. Then there were also doubts. All right, we agree. The dead will rise again. But when they rise again, what kind of bodies will they have? How will they rise again? That, as I said, we shall discuss next week. Some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Solution? Only the resurrection of Christ could solve these problems. So we have got to deal with the resurrection of Christ. And that's the fact that was brought to you last week. Now, the Corinthian believers believe in the resurrection of Christ. There's no doubt about it. Chapter 5, 15, verses 1 and 2. And Paul gave them a reminder about this, that they believe that the Lord is indeed risen. But they were not sure with regard to the resurrection of Christians. Would those who had died rise again? Because up to now, there's no sign that anybody who had died had risen. Would they ever rise? Would they ever rise? That was just less than 50 years ago, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. For us now, we may ask these questions. They are more pertinent than ever. Nearly 2,000 years already. Would the dead, those of our loved ones who have died, rise again? Would they? This will be more pertinent to us, and we need, therefore, to see how this question is dealt with by Paul. Will we rise again and be raptured to be with Christ in heaven? Right. Basically, we must go back to the idea of the Lord Jesus Christ risen again. If the Lord Jesus Christ did not rise again, we would not rise again. The dead in Christ would not rise again. The resurrection of Christ is vital to the full gospel. And that's why it is said that I declare unto you the gospel that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Three important points. Jesus must die in order to pay for our sins. Jesus must be buried to prove that he died. Jesus must rise again to show that the payment for our sins has been accepted by God. Three things must occur. He must be died. He must be buried. He must rise again. If you do not believe in this, you will die in your sins. So that's vital to the gospel. And to subtract from that or to add to that is indeed anathema. Curse, be damned. You can never escape from that kind of damnation. Do not believe in the so-called gospel today who take away the Lord Jesus Christ in his death, burial, resurrection. Who add on that you must do this, you must do that to believe in the Lord Jesus, to be saved. If you subtract or add on, then you will remain in your condition of damnation. Anathema. And if you do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, it's anathema. And that's why Peter, when he met the Lord Jesus Christ challenged him, "Lovest thou me more than this?" And Peter had to answer, "Yes, Lord, I love thee." The love of the Lord Jesus Christ is vital. If we do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, then we shall remain in our sins. We shall be damned. We shall be anathema. Let's study 1 Corinthians 15 now in greater detail. We have talked about the reminder. Now we come to the resurrection of Christ. That it is valid. It is true. Mr. Lee Kim Siong last week showed you how Jesus Christ rose again from the dead historically. Now we are going to prove that and use that doctrinally. How we can use it as the very basis of our teaching and doctrine. The resurrection of Christ is valid. First, the factual gospel. It was testified by the word. Jesus died according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again according to the scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was walking together with the two disciples on the road to Damascus, he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which was written in the law of Moses, prophets, and Psalms." And all these three sections consist of the Old Testament. And they spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would die, be buried, and we will rise again. So the word testified to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was testified by many witnesses. If you have your Bible open in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 5 to 7, you find that the first witness will be Cephas, Peter. Peter was the one who saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from Peter, there was a 12. Now, actually, the 12 there would not refer to the 12 disciples exactly, because Judas had betrayed the Lord. It was a technical term to refer to the disciples of the Lord. There were at first 10 of them when the Lord Jesus appeared to them in an upper room. Thomas was not there. And then the next week, because Thomas did not believe, Jesus appeared to Thomas again. So that Thomas then said, "My Lord and my God." And so it was testified by Peter, Cephas, by the 12 or the 10 disciples, and 11 after that when Thomas was included, and then by over 500 brethren. By the way, the word brethren is the Greek word for male. It's not male and female. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is a legal document. The Jews would not accept the witness of women. And that's why even today, in our national religion, we find that the witness of women is put aside. Because if a woman is raped, the woman cannot be witness. She needs four righteous men to witness the rape in order for the case to be brought legally to be discussed in the court. And so we find no women was mentioned because of this custom. Over 500 men, and many of them are still living. If what Paul was saying was not true, then these men who are still living and who saw the Lord Jesus Christ when he was alive, they could testify that Jesus indeed rose again from the dead. Then I mentioned Peter, I mentioned the 12, I mentioned the 500 brethren, and there was also, we find, James. And then I mentioned that already, there was also the 12 apostles, the apostles who saw and witnessed the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And above everything else, there was the writer. There was a writer, even Paul. Paul himself. Now, Paul was a hostile witness. Paul was a persecutor of the church. And yet, at the end of it all, he became a preacher of the Lord Jesus Christ. Such a change in life must prove that Jesus must have risen again from the dead. Well, a rebuff. Because of the problem, Some say there is no resurrection of the dead. What? In spite of all this, you still say there is no resurrection of the dead? Do you know what you are saying? To say there is no resurrection of the dead is to say Christ was not raised. Because the two are linked together. The fact Christ is risen, we can rise again. The fact that you think that we cannot rise again shows that Christ did not rise again. But did not Jesus Christ not rise again? No, Jesus Christ rose again. So if Jesus Christ rose again, we must rise again. It's a very strong argument, confirmed by the word, the witnesses, and Paul the writer. Christianity is not reliable if you say that Christ is not risen. Consider your faith, because if Christ be not raised, now, from verse 14 downwards, note the argument. Underline it if you want to. If then, there is the premise and there is the conclusion. And that's this whole argument. If you say this, then what's the first if? Because if Christ be not raised, then our preaching of Christ is empty. Why do we preach Christ? Why do I stand up here to preach Christ and his resurrection? If any of you here tonight, to this morning, I hope there is not, believe that Jesus Christ did not rise again from the dead, you should not be here. And I should not be here. Why should I be here? Because I'm preaching something that is wrong and that is not true. Our preaching of Christ is empty. It's vain. Your faith is vain. I have been preaching and many others here have been preaching. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. And if you do not believe in the resurrection of Christ, then you will not be saved because your faith is vain. He cannot save you because he did not rise again from the dead. A conclusion that is revolting. Consider the falsehood. If at all you would say, and I would say, that Christ did not rise again from the dead, then not only would we be false witnesses because we witnessed to something that was not true. We say Jesus rose again from the dead, but Jesus did not rise again from the dead. That is not true. If that is not true, we were false witnesses. That's what Paul said. They also would be found working against God. God had given proof after proof to show that Jesus rose again from the dead, to show that your sins can be forgiven, that the payment for sin had been given, and that he would give a receipt for that payment, and you would be saved. But you don't believe that. So it would work against God's program for our salvation all this time. From verse 16 to 18, Paul argued with the same arguments again, but this time with greater emphasis. He said again, to say there is no resurrection of the dead is to say also Christ is not risen. I hope very frankly, very sincerely, that there is no one here in this gathering this morning who will go away after this meeting and say that Jesus Christ did not rise again from the dead. Because your hope, your future, your destiny would all be in vain. To say there is no resurrection of the dead is to say Christ is not risen. Your faith is fruitless. Don't ever believe in Jesus Christ. Yourself is not sinless. Your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. 15:17. The believing dead are hopeless. And those who have died in Christ, they are hopeless. They have no hope because they will remain damned. A regret. Then we are of all men most pitiable. Now, this verse is interesting. Verse 19. We are of all men most pitiable if we believe only in Jesus. Wow, what does that mean? If we only believe in Jesus, then we are of all men most miserable. All our hopes in Christ are confined only to this life. This verse challenges us. If we today believe in Jesus because we can have health, because we can have wealth, because we can be happy, because we can be blessed of the Lord, if this is your blessing in believing in Jesus, you are most pitiable because you have no life to look for, no hope to look for in the afterlife. If your life is confined to the blessing of Jesus for this life only, you are most pitiable. On the other hand, we hope only in Christ without his resurrected life. If we consider the Lord Jesus Christ as the only one who was very good, a good leader, a good teacher, and that's all that he was in life, we do not believe that he rose again from the dead, you are of all men most miserable. So, dear friends, please don't fall into this condition. It is most miserable, a miserable condition to be in. It is almost like anathema. But now, those are good words. But now, if then, don't more if. But now, if Christ raised from the dead, this is a fact, proved by the word, proved by the witnesses, proved by the writer Paul himself. This is a fact. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died and he was buried. He rose again on the third day. Now is Christ raised from the dead. Okay, a resurrected Christ means a pledge of a future resurrection. Every man in his own order. The fact that Jesus rose again from the dead would bring promise, a pledge, that others whom he promised would also rise again from the dead if they believe in him, would come true. Every man in his own order, made possible by the resurrection. First, this is the proof. The fact that Christ had risen from the dead would mean that others would follow. Christ was the first fruits, that there will be some who would follow later on. Not at that time, there were still people that were dead but who remained still in the grave. Not even now, there are still people who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ but who are still in the grave. But the time is coming when those who are dead in Christ will rise again from the dead. And they will be raptured to heaven. They that are Christ. Christ, the first fruits. They that are Christ. In that order. Not all will resurrect at one time. Don't believe what other people say, that there will be only one general resurrection when all will rise at one time. No. There will be separate resurrections. And Christ is the first fruits. Then we who are his will follow. This has not taken place yet, but it will take place. And then we have a third one coming. The sinners, those who have not died, those who have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have died, they will remain in the grave. And they will remain in the grave, and they were in the grave when Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. And they will be in the grave when the Christians who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ are raised from the dead. They will remain in the grave until such time the end cometh, the end, when they will be raised and they will face the judgment seat of Christ, called the judgment at the great white throne, and they will be judged and they will be punished and they will be sent to hell. Such is the damnation, an eternal damnation that will follow. You see how important it is. The resurrection of Christ is so vital to us who are Christians. Prospect of a future reign. In the meanwhile, and this is about this time now, at this moment, while waiting for the pledge to be fulfilled, when Christ will come and all the dead in Christ will be taken up, and after that, there will be a reign on earth when Christ will take up his people, and we shall reign with him upon the earth. And he will become the head of this kingdom. That he, when he was here, that when he came the first time, he was rejected. But now he will be the king of this kingdom. There will be the subjugation of all things by the Son. First, he will make sure his enemies would subdue to him, would submit to him. He will make sure that the last enemy would be death, and death itself would submit to him. And when all these things are submitted, as I have submitted themselves to him, then he will take all these things, which he will call his kingdom now, because he's king. He will take all this, which is his kingdom, and he will come before his Father, and he himself, as the head of the all this kingdom, he will bow himself down before the Lord and make the Father as the all in all. So that at the end of all things, God will be all in all. But first, he must subject you and me under him. And that's why today in the church, we have the Christ as the head of Christ, and we are the body. And when the body is submissive to the head, then he will take us, as well as those later on who refuse, who are his enemies, and the last enemy will be death. All these he will take with him, and all these he will present before his Father, and he will submit to the Father. He will be subject to the Father. It says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 28, very clear, that God may be all and in all. Do not hinder him from being the head of us all, from being the head of us individually as a person, from being the head of us as the church, that we are the body, he is the head, that he must be given preeminence in all things, that God may be all in all. Right. Now, let's reason out. Is this reasonable? Is this reasonable? Let's use a bit of our brain. If there is no resurrection of the dead, why live a pinch hitter life? This term, pinch hitter, refers to a ball game where the hitter of the ball, when he misses the ball, he's out, dead. He cannot come in anymore. He's dead. And Paul is saying here, verse 29, if there is no resurrection from the dead, why do people get baptized? They get baptized, and at that time, the Roman Empire, to get baptized, to own the Lord Jesus Christ, would expose you to persecution. You would be martyred. You would die. You would be thrown into the lion's den. You would be burned by fire. Why be baptized? Be a secret disciple, so nobody knows. There are people who are prepared to be baptized and to die after confessing the Lord Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism. Today, you can be baptized, but you need not have to die, but you still won't be baptized. Do you believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be baptized to show that you are dead with him, buried with him, and risen with him again. Why are you so afraid? The people at that time, if they did so, they would be baptized, they would be dead. And yet, Paul is saying, if this is so, if there is no resurrection of the dead, why do these people who confess the resurrection of the dead be baptized and be slaughtered? And yet there are others who are prepared to come and take their place. Do you believe in the resurrection of Christ? Is it real, or is it is just a theory? Why live a hazardous life? Chapter 15. Paul said, look, I have lived a very, very hazardous life, dangerous life. I have even fought with the beast in Ephesus. And all those people who believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ will be thrown into the arena, will be killed. Why do these people expose their life in that way? Is it worth it? No. If there is no resurrection from the dead. Yes, if there is a resurrection from the dead. Because they know that if they die, they will live again. The challenge is, do you believe in the resurrection of the dead? Is the resurrection of the dead real? Or of Jesus Christ real? Why live a holy life? Cannot do this, cannot do that. Why not eat, drink, and be merry? Be like all the other people. Look at all the unbelievers. They are enjoying themselves, dancing around, and enjoying, drink, eat, merry. Why must we live a separate life? Away from all these pleasures of life and of sin. Not worthy. If there is no resurrection from the dead. If this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Because of our faith in Him, we have given up the world and its pleasures and follies. We have become strangers and pilgrims in this scene. And now if there is no risen Christ, if this is all a mistake, we are going to lose both worlds. We are not enjoying this life. And then the next life, there is none. It's an illusion. We lose in this life. We lose in the other life. Is it worth it? We gladly gave up this world because we thought we saw another above our heads. But that is only a dream, a fantasy, if Christ be not risen. The unconverted man can at least enjoy this present world. I have surrendered the things that other men live for down here. But what a blunder, what a mistake. If Christ be not risen, I am simply following a will of the wisp that will land me at last in darkness and despair. What's the point? What is the point in living holy lives, separate lives, sanctified lives? Forget it. Live, drink, be merry. After all, tomorrow we die. So, what is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ to you and to me? Conclusion. Jesus must rise from the dead. It is a condition of the full gospel, testified to by the word, witnesses, and the writer, including the faithful women. It is the only conclusion one can arrive at, rationally, if then. Eschatologically, every man in his own order. Today you don't see things happening yet, but the time is coming. Everything will come in its order. Only it can end in the consummation of all ages. Only the life that believes in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the life that believes that one day it will also rise again from the dead as the Lord Jesus Christ, only then can we able to bring to pass that which the Lord had planned from the very beginning, to the consummation of all things, when He will be all and in all. If Christ did rise again from the dead in Christ must also rise from the dead. We started with this question. Did Christ rise? No, we started with this question. Can a person who is dead rise again? It all boils down to the fact that that person must believe that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. And Jesus Christ did rise again from the dead. And if Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, that all those who are dead in Christ must rise again from the dead. This is the conclusion. Next week, we'll deal with this one. The first one has been finished. The second one. We now agree that all of us will rise again from the dead. because Jesus rose again from the dead. But some still say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? That's going to be very interesting. Next week, as we discuss and find out how we are going to be raised, what kind of body will we have after we have risen from the dead? Well, that will be for next week. The solution only is the resurrection of Christ that will solve all these problems. May the Lord bless us all. That I'm discussing these topics with you because you are now in John's Gospel, touching on the resurrection of Christ. Historically, as a fact, now you are going to use this fact for doctrine and for deportment. Doctrine to base your faith on. Deportment so that your lives will be fashioned and changed according to what you believe in. That if you believe in Christ, risen from the dead, you must live a life that is risen from the dead to walk in newness of life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for what Thou hast taught us. We thank Thee for the many proofs and evidence of the Lord Jesus Christ who rose again from the dead. Lord, we thank Thee for saving us. We thank Thee for convincing us that indeed the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. And we also have the hope that one day, should we leave this world, we also would rise again from the dead. Lord, we thank You. In the meanwhile, help us to die daily. Help us to live the kind of life that we should be in, to walk in newness of life, to be conformed into His image, to be like Him, and to be what He wants us to be. Bless us, Lord, we do pray. And even as we separate now to go for the refreshments, Lord, bless us, we do pray. We give Thee thanks for the fellowship we can have with one another in and through the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.